This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tommy Bahama Miramonte is an oasis in the heart of it all, a destination to escape, where you are inspired to soak up life's simple pleasures and celebrate its greatest moments. Escape in style and relax in luxury. Tommy Bahama Miramonte.
You may have heard about living kidney donations. Maybe you know someone whose future depends on finding a donor. What you don't know is there's a list of 615 San Diegans waiting for a kidney at Sharp Healthcare. 615. Women and men, fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, from students to grandparents, each living day to day, waiting for the life-changing call. But kidney donations are easier than you may think. From a friend, a family member, even from a complete stranger. Like you. At Sharp, the transplant team is absolutely first class. Adults can donate at any age, and you'll live normally, except for the privilege of forever knowing you saved a life. Learn more at sharp.com/givelife. 615 San Diegans are hoping you will.
Tune in to Smart Investing Show every Saturday morning at 8, right here on 97.3 The Fan. You will learn how to become a smarter investor and how to invest for the long term. If you miss a show, you can always listen to our podcast on smartinvesting2000.com.
The views expressed are not those of Odyssey or The Fan.
Are you ready for the April attack with the San Diego Legion, your Major League Rugby Western Conference champions, on April 14th and April 21st at Snapdragon Stadium? Whether you're a hardcore rugby fan or new to the game, you're in for a thrilling, action-packed experience. Enjoy free giveaways, tailgating, live music, pro clinics, and more. Experience the energy and raw power of professional rugby at Snapdragon Stadium on April 14th and April 21st. Secure your tickets at sdlegion.com. That's sdlegion.com. We are Legion.
When people have a craving to explore new and traditional Asian cuisines, they head to P.F. Chang's, where scratch-made dishes come from the 2,000-year-old tradition of wok cooking. P.F. Chang's wanted to explore new possibilities for their website. They turned to AmericanEagle.com. AmericanEagle.com re-architected P.F. Chang's website, integrating multiple third-party systems to create a unified digital experience. The results? Improved page speed and performance, personalized content based on users' location, intuitive online ordering, an increase in organic search visibility, and a 40% increase in new users. For scratch-made Asian cuisine, visit your local P.F. Chang's or go to pfchangs.com for website design, development, digital marketing and hosting that produce efficiency, revenue, and results. Visit AmericanEagle.com. P.F. Chang's and AmericanEagle.com. Another example of the best businesses in the world. Turning to the best in the business for websites, go to AmericanEagle.com or call 877-WEB-NOW-1. That's 877-WEB-NOW-1.
The workday is coming to an end.
It is 5 o'clock. I will see you all tomorrow.
But Quinn and Chris are just getting started.
Sports talk it is.
Your hosts, Tony Quinn Jr.
Man, my dad used to come home with those double beef and cheddars with the barbecue sauce that they used to come with it. Douse it up.
And Chris Ello.
Yeah!
It's time to get you up to speed on all things sports.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
With plenty of nonsense in between.
Oh, look! Here comes our fearless producer!
Quinn and Chris starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, the whole program has gone cattywampus. We welcome you into the final hour of the show, although I guess it's about the final 52 minutes. Chris Hello, Tony Gwynn Jr. in Los Angeles, getting set for Padres-Dodgers. Matt Scraby turning the show into a veritable mishmash of timing and tape delays. What'd you do over there? I don't even understand what happened last segment.
Do we want the technical explanation for everybody out there?
No, just give us the the layman's explanation, which was you pooped up.
No, okay.
Isn't that the layman's explanation?
Yeah, it is. But basically, I always have to explain myself, Chris.
All right, explain yourself.
There's a legal ID that is, we call it hard synced. So no matter what is happening on the air, the legal ID is going to take over at 59:45.
So that messed up bar.
I usually have to move it if we're not going to hit it on time, and I did not move it, so it thought we were going... We were at the right time, so it did that. And I was going to let everybody hear the rest of the Big Five, so I wanted to play it, and I picked the wrong spot, so we went back in time a little bit.
We did. We actually heard the tail end of the Big Five twice.
I'm sorry about that, everybody.
All right. Everybody stayed with us, I hope, because we got a really good final 52 minutes ahead, including our visit with Joe Musgrove, who now, after your latest mess up
guffaw.
Over there, your latest guffaw, kind of happy that he punked you earlier today. He had a very funny bit about Scraby. You'll hear it at the bottom of this hour. Joe Musgrove, our Friar Friday guest, getting a pretty good one in on Scraby earlier today.
I haven't done that big of a guffaw in quite some time.
That was the biggest of all.
Guffaw?
Whatever.
I haven't even gotten a text from Adam yet, which is...
Yeah,
kind of worries me a little bit.
I know. I hope he's not off the grid.
He's like that angry at me that he can't text me?
No, he's just off the grid. He must be off the grid. Also coming up in this hour, my top three good things that have happened for the Padres so far. Sorry, but I also have to have my bottom three things that have happened to the Padres so far.
Okay.
Top three, bottom three coming up soon. But while we were away and while we were doing the Big Five 1 3/4 times, Scraby was at least making good on a promise, which was you were going to find out what the lowest number of hits Tony Gwynn Sr. ever had in a 50 at bat span.
Yes.
Because the final subject of the Big Five today was the Met fans are going crazy mad over Francisco Lindor being 5 for 51. To open the season, and they're thinking of booing him and throwing stuff at him, and God knows what they've threatened to his poor wife.
Yeah, no.
And so I said,
posted the pictures of what they threatened, and it was disgusting.
It was pretty sad. It really is sad. I mean, like, Mets fans, those Mets fans really ought to be ashamed of themselves, seriously. But I said, you know, 5 out of 50 is not good, but I bet you Tony Gwynn Sr. even had, you know, a stretch that was similar. Maybe not quite that bad.
So,
and what'd you find?
So I went to Stathead and I searched this. This was my search parameters. I had to put in a span of games. So it says, in a span of 15 games in the regular season requiring 50 at-bats, the least amount of hits he's had in 50 at-bats or had in 50 at-bats in his career was started on May 29th, 1988.
Okay.
And he went 8 for 50.
Tony Gwynn Sr.
Yes, over a 15 games period, he went 8 for 50. He actually, if you put it in the plate appearances, he went 8 for 64.
8 for 64
but he
plate
walked
appearances.
10 times, so whatever.
He had some walks. So 8 for 50, that's Tony Gwynn Sr.
Yes.
So that's, we're talking about the greatest hitter of our generation, 8 for 50.
Yeah. That's...
So Francisco Lindor is not that far off of that. So please, Mets fans, get a hold of yourselves out there. The other part of the Big Five that was absolutely hilarious today were those guys in New York ripping Juan Soto for having the audacity to take a walk in the bottom of the ninth inning.
Swing the bat, bro.
Swing the bat, bro. But I guarantee you that there are many San Diego listeners who heard that segment and who all nodded their heads knowingly and said, yeah, we couldn't stand that too, bro. Juan Soto walks too much. He doesn't drive the ball. when you've got to drive in runs. I just think it's crazy that it's taken them third. It took us at least half of a season for us to start getting mad at Juan Soto around here. It's taken the Yankee fans 13 games to start getting on his case, and their record is 10-3. Imagine if their record was 3-10.
Yeah. Well, I didn't get into it with anyone, but I decided I was going to dip my toe in those waters, and so I commented on it, and I said, like, basically, this is a crazy take, but just wait. Or this is not a crazy take, just wait. Padres fans saw it all last year, and then I got into a conversation with some Yankees fans, and it was actually a civil conversation on Twitter, which is, like, the weirdest thing in the world.
That doesn't happen
often.
But
they're like, his clutch stats are great. His stats are great. What are you talking about? And I said, trust me, I feel like a crazy person for saying this, but there will be a point in this season where you're like, why did he walk instead of try to swing the bat?
Well, so far this season, I'm not looking at BAPIP, and I'm not looking at all of this stupid analytical stuff, but I am looking at the fact that Juan Soto's off to a pretty good start.
A really good start.
Right, for the Yankees.
Really good start.
He's even made a couple of big defensive plays. I haven't seen him run the wrong way on the bases yet.
No, not yet.
Although I expect that'll happen soon. But yeah, so far Juan Soto's OPS is 1,008 for the Yankees. Not as good as Jurickson Profar's is with the Padres, though.
No, that's true.
Jurickson's is better than that. 1,012 Jurickson Profar's OPS. So we knew what we were doing when we sent Juan Soto packing.
Yes.
We opened up a spot for Jurickson Profar.
Right, it is Scrape? The weirdest thing in the world that, like, for someone who gets on base so much, there is a complaint about it. But and you know what someone pointed out to me in my DMs earlier? Hey, weren't you the guy who was saying it's okay that he walked? Yeah, I was that guy. And now that he's not on the team anymore, I can maybe take a little bit.
It's fun to sit back and now let it be someone else's issue.
Yeah, let it be someone else's issue and also kind of like reevaluate your thoughts on it.
Yeah, Soto's walked 11 times total already this year. All right, we'll take a quick timeout where we had to catch up here. When we come back, though, three best things, three worst things about the Padres' first 15 games of the season. Also still to come, Joe Musgrove. Scraby was speechless.
Yep.
So you'll hear that coming up soon after traffic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
5:22 is the time. Chris Ella, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan, Sam Levitt. It's such a big April series that Sam Levitt is in Los Angeles. He's on site for tonight's first game. Three-game series, Padres and Dodgers. Padres are 1-1 against the Dodgers so far this year. You may recall those two games in South Korea that were played in the middle of the night a few weeks ago. Padres have not won a season series from the Dodgers since 2010. Let that sink in for a second. 2010, they've lost 13 consecutive years in the regular season series to the Dodgers. And most of the time, it's not really even close, by the way. It's usually, 13 wins to 5 or something like that. Anyway, Padres, hopefully they can get it turned. Here's the best way to look at this three-game series. If the Padres sweep it, they'll move into a tie for first place with L.A. in the National League West. We can dream, can't we? Tonight, Michael King starts against Yoshi Yamamoto.
This is why I'm so excited about the matchup tonight.
You are excited
about
it.
I want to see Yoshi go down, and I want to see Michael King continue what he did last Saturday in San Francisco.
2-0 for Michael King at the start. Well done. Got one of those wins in Korea over the Dodgers.
Yes.
He was the winning pitcher in that game.
Michael King was?
Yes, he was. He took over in relief from No-No Joe.
Oh. I thought, anyway.
Speaking of No-No Joe, he'll be on the program in about 10 minutes.
This hour is brought to you by Prize Picks. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. Cash in on basketball's big moments with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Use code KWFN for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be in certain states or must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details.
Thank you very much, Mr. Scraby.
You're so welcome.
Here are the, what do you want, the top three things that have happened with the Padres so far? Bottom three? Or do you want me to go back and
negative.
Forth?
Oh, back and forth. Oh, I like that.
Go back and forth.
I like that.
All right, number three, bad thing.
Let me get some music.
I don't know that bad's the fair word. I'm going to say number three, concern. All right?
Okay.
Negative side.
Okay.
I'm going to put Ha-Seong Kim there. Just, you know, he's off to a slow start.
Yes.
He's not playing gold glove shortstop yet.
He's making really uncharacteristic mistakes.
Uncharacteristic mistakes. He's not hitting the ball well. Is he pressing because he's playing shortstop? Is he upset because they didn't give him the new contract? I don't think any of it's true. I just think he's going through a bad stretch. I hope it is anyway.
I think he's pressing because he's trying to get a new contract.
Maybe. Could be that.
That's a good one, Chris.
I don't know, but that's my number three concern right now, Ha-Seong Kim. My number three, really happy about, I'll go with Robert Suarez.
Yeah.
I don't know that, you know, I was 100% convinced that Suarez was going to be the closer, locked down, get me to the ninth inning, feel good about winning the game every time guy. But so far, right, four times, four saves.
Yep.
He's got one four-out save. He's got one five-out save. He's been throwing strikes. He's been getting ahead.
Fastballs.
The only run he gave up was a who-cares home run to Michael Conforto in the home opener. Suarez has been really good, and to have that ninth inning, you know, at least to this point, locked down, that's nice.
That is nice.
All right, number two on the here's what I'm concerned about list, the lack of any kind of consistency here with the offense. You know, we've pointed out the fact that they've scored 80 runs. That's second most in baseball. The Dodgers have scored 81. That gives you an idea how, in a lot of ways, good the offense has been. But if you take a deeper dive, you find that they've had a lot of those seven-run innings, five-run innings, four-run innings. They've had more of those than any team in baseball. But they've also had long stretches where they have not done anything.
Like on Saturday, they hit a grand slam, and then they didn't score again the rest of the day.
Until Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, I don't expect you to put nine runs up every game. That's not realistic either. But they just recently went through a stretch where they had 56 of 57 innings in which they did not score more than one run.
I get a little nervous about this one because of the scar tissue of last year. It felt like last year, whenever they scored a lot of runs, the next couple games, there was a huge drought in runs.
Well, they got 10 on Wednesday. You better not be right.
I better not be right.
That means tonight there's going to be a drought.
You're right.
All right, inconsistency. Offense has not been there on a regular basis yet. Here's number two on what's really good so far. R-I-S-P.
R-I-S-P-E-C-T.
Yeah. Runners in scoring position. They were the worst team in baseball last year, hitting with runners in scoring position. In fact, they were almost historically bad. Like, I don't remember what it was, but, like, their R-I-S-P last year was as bad, like, as any team has been. They could never get a hit.
Trust me, we all know.
Yeah, we brought it up 1,000 times.
And we also watched it.
Now, this year, guess what? They're still hitting .307 with runners in scoring position.
That's awesome.
That's not going to hold up,
no.
But it's a great start and a whole bunch better than it was last year. R-I-S-P. All right, my number one concern, and I think this is legit so far, the bullpen ahead of Robert Suarez. We've got to get this squared away. We've got to get, I think, better roles defined. I don't know that that means that the same guy has to pitch the seventh and eighth every time. But honestly, I'd feel better about that than what I do now, which is When that gate opens, I don't know who's coming in. And also when that gate opens, I don't know that who's coming in is going to be getting anybody out.
Bullpen's, there's a couple guys, yeah.
Bullpen's ERA is over 5, and that's with Robert Suarez in it. You know, Matsui's done okay. Peralta's been okay.
Kolek has not been...
They don't have a right-handed reliever that I trust, worth a darn.
Yeah, Brito,
other than
Kolek.
Suarez, of course. Yeah. So the bullpen's got to get shaped up. You can't... Tony and I have mentioned this a bunch of times. This year's team does not have the same on-paper talent as last year, which means that you don't have as big a room for error, which means when you afford yourself a lead, bullpen can't cough it up. And too often it's been, they don't get that first guy out. They come in with a walk. They come in with, I mean, Kolek, the example, he gave up the grand slam on the first batter. But you got to come out of that bullpen and take over command right away. Not seeing that yet.
Derek on the chat says Yuki Matsui is cooking. We bring him in too early. And I kind of feel the same way. I would like for him to go a little bit later. He's one of the better relievers that they have right now.
A lot of times,
they,
I think,
don't use him in the six when
Derek,
you can use
not
him
a,
in the
it's
eighth.
Not a bad point. I think sometimes, though, Schilt feels like the sixth and seventh is when you got to get those outs.
Okay.
Anyway, bullpen needs to be figured out. And then we'll finish with the number one bright spot of the Padres so far this year. Got a guess?
Jake Cronenworth.
No.
Brighter
than that.
Brighter? Oh, Luis Campusano.
Brighter than that.
Brighter? Fernando?
Brighter than him.
Brighter? Who's brighter? Oh, Jackson Merrill.
Nope.
I literally named every good thing about the team.
No, you haven't. You haven't named the brightest star of them all so far.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to get this. Oh, Jerickson Profar.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's it.
He's got a 10-12 OPS that is 300 points higher basically than his career. I mean, the guy is on fire. He's coming off a 3-for-3 single, double, home run, 3 RBI game the other day. Can't be stopped. Come on, Jerickson, keep it going, baby.
I picked him for my daily fantasy lineup today because of his.
Oh boy, that's a risk, but good luck.
Anthony anyway. Says could be better, but we or the ERA, but we also dropped Tim Hill and Garcia. Can't get any worse than that. Last year it was tough with Luis Garcia and Tim Hill.
They took
but
out.
But Tim Hill did some great things.
They took out Avila today. Pedro Avila, if you're just tuning in, was DFA'd, and they brought in Adrian Morejon. All right, we're bringing in Joe Musgrove, and, you know, our interviews with Joe are always great, always fun, always special, but this one takes the cake. You'll see why when we come back on Gwen and Chris. All right, don't go too far. Joe Musgrove, our visit with him is coming up. In, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, whom Joe Musgrove punked very nicely. You'll hear that in just a few minutes. Scraby's heart is barely started, and that happened like 3 hours ago now. He's still barely back.
Honestly, did stop.
Masters round 2 is complete. Scottie Scheffler, Max Homa, Bryson DeChambeau are your leaders. They're all at 6 under par. Nikolai Helgad looks like he's from Finland, maybe, if I'm reading the flag correctly.
Is it yellow and
no?
Oh,
it is red with a yellow cross. Let me see.
Red with a yellow cross.
Nicolas Hesgaard.
Hesgaard.
He's from Denmark. Sorry, I missed my Scandinavian country by a few hundred miles.
How could you ever?
He's a Dane. He's 4 anyway. He's 2 back. Colin Morikawa, Cam Davis, 3 back. Ludvig Åberg.
Åberg, yeah.
He's 4 back. And then a bunch of guys are 5 back, including Cam Young, Cameron, and Cam Smith. Cam Smith's a former major winner. Your lookalike, Patrick Reed, is an even par.
Gosh.
Along with Xander Schauffele, 6 off the lead. Tiger Woods checks in at +1, which is, I think, pretty darn good for an octogenarian of his
stature. 48.
Tiger broke a record.
He's had like 500 injuries.
He broke a record.
Today?
Yes.
What was it?
It was Tiger.
Don't come in hot and then not be able to back it up.
No, it was like he made the cut 26 straight times. Let me see. Tiger Woods Masters cut.
That's all right. But yeah, Tiger made the cut. Koepka's at
24th straight cut.
24th straight year. Tiger Woods makes the cut. Yeah, he's pretty good at that course, but plus one. So he's only seven off the lead if you really want to dream. He's tied for 22nd place. Koepka's at two over. Mickelson faded right at the very end. Phil finished at four over, but did make the cut for the weekend.
I got to tell you, I love the Masters. It's like maybe one of my favorite.
You're not into it this year, though. You don't seem like you're into it at all.
Not at all.
Yeah. You have not been into it. Among those cut, by the way, Victor Hovland. You like him normally. He didn't make it. Jordan Spieth did not make the cut. I think that's Dustin Johnson. It's a little of a surprise, isn't it?
No, I mean...
That's not Dustin Johnson?
No,
these... Missing the cut?
Well, by the way, Dustin Johnson has been telling everybody for like a month to watch out for him at the Masters.
Oh, well...
They watched out and they missed him.
Yeah, he's gone.
These LIV guys, they're just not playing enough.
Stop it. Bryson DeChambeau is leading the tournament, and he's a LIV guy.
Let's see what happens over the weekend, but you're right. He is a LIV guy, but most of the LIV guys, it seems like, are not playing as well as they could.
All right. We got Joe Musgrove coming up in about 5 minutes. Let's give you the latest thing that upsets us about Joe Musgrove's tormentor, Brian Kenny of ESPN. What did he do now?
I'm just trying to cue up the audio, but
I didn't realize we even had audio.
No, here's the audio. So he was on MLB Network, and he and Ryan Dempster.
Oh, the dumpster.
The dumpster.
The dumpster fire.
Is he the one with the weird glove thing when he was pitching? Like he would like.
He did. He wiggled his glove around.
Well, they went head to head, it says in this thing, and they teams that should be rebuilding according to Brian Kenny. So here we go.
Teams that we should be rebuilding.
According to Brian.
Like tear it all down and start over.
Start over.
Did a full rebuild and it's paying off. Here are the teams that I say should be rebuilding. But are not. They're trying to, as they say, refuel the plane while it's in the air. Mets, Padres, Cardinals all got their comeuppance last year. All are sort of rebuilding, but not really. And the Red Sox are always sort of rebuilding, but not really. And you're kind of stuck in between. I know there's a wild...
I've heard enough. I don't want to hear the guy
anymore. You don't want to hear his reasoning?
No, I don't care. I don't care what his reasoning is. Here's my reasoning. As long as you've got a good enough team to compete for a playoff spot in Major League Baseball, which the Padres do, and you can tell me that they got their comeuppance last year, but they only missed the playoffs by two games. All right. As long as you've got a team that can compete for a playoff spot in Major League Baseball, you should be competing. And the reason for that is the Diamondbacks, the Rangers, and the year before that, the Phillies, and the Astros. The Astros are the only one of those teams that came anywhere near to winning a division. The rest of them were not only wild cards, they were number 5 seeds and number 6 seeds. Barely into the playoffs.
That's a good point.
And then on into the World Series. Baseball is not set up in the playoffs to favor the teams that have the best record. Baseball is almost set up to favor the teams that barely get in. Because the other teams have to rest while you're playing. And if you can win that first round, as the Padres did 2 years ago, look out. Brian Kinney's an idiot. We already know that. I'll never think anything differently.
I'm not arguing.
He could have made the most perfect point of all time to support that claim, and I still would think he's an idiot.
Well,
so.
the thing with there. This is like I honestly didn't go into his reasoning either because I just turned it off after I heard about the Padres. But why, like you said, why are you rebuilding a team that is able to make the playoffs. It just makes no sense.
Well, I mean, if you want to rebuild a team, you know, the
rebuild
teams
the Rockies.
The teams that need to be built, right, the Rockies, the A's, the White Sox.
Yeah, rebuild those
teams.
These
are teams that are horrible that need to be rebuilt.
Like the Mets, I think his reasoning behind the Mets being
say whatever you want. The Mets
money.
The Mets could win the World Series this year. They could.
Yes, you're right.
Because all they have to do is get into the playoffs as a sixth seed.
Yeah, you're right.
The Padres can win the World Series this year. Brian Kinney.
What about the Cardinals? He went on the list of the Cardinals. Do you think they should rebuild?
I don't think any team should rebuild in baseball unless you're that far away from contending.
St. Louis is?
They are not. They had a terrible season last year.
Yeah.
But don't be surprised if they're not within five or six games of first place in that division this year. Plus, it's only April. So if you're rebuilding already, my goodness, that's sad.
I didn't want to bring this up earlier because I knew it would cause frayed feelings.
Well, I can't stand that guy. All right, here's a guy that I really, really like. Joe Musgrove. Did we check traffic yet?
We will.
Okay, we'll do that. Pay closest attention to the beginning of this interview because Scraby gets it bad.
Joe Musgrove joins us right now here on Gwen and Chris. Joe, how are you today, my friend?
Gentlemen, what's going on? Before we get started, I just want to bring something to your attention. I don't know if Scraby mentioned anything to you guys, but his name is not being held in very high regard in the Padre clubhouse right now. He gave a lot of dudes in here the cold shoulder yesterday. And some guys just aren't happy about it. So
cold shoulder yesterday, or the other day.
Joe. It's funny you mentioned that because he said yesterday that he was in the area and he made reference to the fact that he didn't actually say hi. And I asked him. I was like, "Hey, man, you were on the field and you actually didn't say hi to Joe while you were down." So apparently, it wasn't just you. It was a lot more than just you.
It seems like it, man, you know. Dad.
Oh, that's terrible,
Scraby. You
have
no idea how much I'm crawling out of my skin right now. But
Scraby, I'm messing with you, dude. You know what's funny, dude, is my mom actually called me yesterday. She loves the show. She listens to you guys daily. So she called me and she goes, "I know you're going on the show tomorrow. You got to give Scraby some trash talk and wear him out a little bit."
I love it.
They're joking about it, but we love you, Scraby.
All right, thanks. Thank you very much.
That would be hilarious if Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis were over in the corner going, "Can you believe that guy won't even come over and say hi to
us?" I'm just trying to stay out of the way, okay? I'm just trying to stay out of the way. But thank you for that. That was great. That was
very good. Yeah. Very good.
So what's going on, guys?
I don't know.
You're on the show. I guess we should be asking you questions as opposed to the other way around. So, you guys come here to Dodger Stadium. This place has not been very good to this ball club, this organization, in quite some time. I mean, obviously it's early in the season, Joe, but you know, I would imagine that you guys are tired of coming in here and getting your butts whooped.
Yeah, you know, I mean, a lot of that is brought to the surface by the fans and, you know, the excitement of the series and whatnot. But, you know, I just feel like we feel like a different team this year mentally. You know, we feel like we're very confident and secure in the work that we've been putting in and where we're at as a group. So coming in here, it has a little bit different of a feeling. You know, we just feel really good about where we're at and taking care of our business.
Joe, can you be a little more specific on some of the things that you're seeing from this ball club 15 games in that makes you believe, maybe you personally and the team believe that this season's going to be a whole lot more different than things turned out last year?
Yeah, I think just the overall engagement from the group as a whole, starting with Shilty. You know, he's laid out a really good foundation for how things are going to go this season. He's put the right people in place. The staff has been incredible. They're here hours before any of us prepping and getting things ready, always. And guys are taking more ownership of the routines. There's a little bit more freedom in there to kind of create your own routine and do what you want. We have, you know, daily sessions of these guys breaking down the game and, you know, talking about where we can be better, definitely celebrating the good things. But, you know, a lot of that comes from Shilty and his program from the top down. So it's been really good. On the pitching side, Ruben and Fritz and Petey that put together our reports and do the day-to-day stuff with us. You know, they're dialed in. Everything's been running smooth. So I think now we're starting to settle into the regular routine after the trip to Korea and getting into the flow of the season. Things are going to continue to get sharper as we go.
I actually ran into Joe this morning, and it should be to nobody's surprise. He was already studying his next opponent. And Joe, you know, for you, you kind of gotten off to a little bit of a slow start there the first couple. I mean, just talk about the difficulties. And I know you're not here to make excuses, but again, having to try to set yourself up, you're going to Korea, you're coming back home, the season's kind of pausing, then you're kind of ramping back up again for your next start. Was it difficult, even though you kind of knew it was ahead of you and you were actually healthy this year, was it still difficult kind of getting yourself where you wanted to be, though?
Yeah, I mean, I think physically just getting there, mentally I felt really good about it. You know, we were aware of this trip for a long time, so I had time to prepare, and you try to create your routine to be, you know, ready a little bit sooner in the year, but, you know, sometimes you just don't get the response from your body that you're hoping for, and you know, you haven't had the reps, you know, to get the feel right and get everything dialed in. You know, that's at least personally for me. So I feel good about it. I, you know, mentally learned a lot from it. I learned a lot how much, you know, I learned a lot about, you know, how impactful your self-talk is. There's a lot of hesitation going to that series for me, especially with the big layoff and, you know, just a lot of questions. So, yeah, I feel like I learned a lot from it. And I feel like as we go here and get more consistent routine, I'm going to start to sharpen up.
Joe Musgrove is with us. It's Friar Friday. We are always ecstatic to have Joe on. And, Joe, this weekend you're not scheduled to start. So what is this weekend like for you? Tony said you're already preparing for Monday in Milwaukee. Can you over-prepare for anybody? And is it nice sometimes to just have a weekend where you know you're not going to play? Or is that trouble for you?
I mean, honestly, the most stressful days are the days between starts. You know, game day is your easiest day. I don't show up to the field until, you know, 3:30 on a game day, and it's pretty much just get ready to go pitch, and you get to go have fun. So it's these are the more stressful days for me throughout the, you know, the week between starts. But I love it, man. That's what I enjoy about it. Like Tony said, looking at film, you know, that pretty much starts. And for Darvish, it's even another level. You know, we'll finish a game on the road, and we're on the bus to the airport, and he's already got the next team's footage up, and every flight he's on film, that guy he obsesses over it. But it does. I mean, for both of us, I feel it creates a lot of confidence in your game and gives you the ability to go out and trust your pitches when you know where the holes are. So a lot of that stuff, and then a lot of physical work, throwing our bullpens, getting our lifts in, doing all the stuff to physically be ready conditioning-wise. So yeah, a lot more work going on between starts than the actual game day. That's kind of the light day and the fun day for us.
San Diego's own Joe Musgrove joins us here on Gwen and Chris. And Joe, one of the things I've heard you speak about was trying to differentiate your curveball and the slider. It kind of has blended a little bit according to you. Talk a little bit about that process, because obviously you go to the offseason, you have the time to kind of dissect it a little bit, but does that work continue on through the regular season as you get more and more starts under your belt?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm really happy with where the slider's at right now. I'm not, you know, quite satisfied with my ability to locate it consistently like I could my, you know, the old shape of my previous slider. And I used it a lot differently, you know, the type of swings I can get and the counts that I can throw in it, because it's, you know, more of a depthy slider and doesn't have as much carry off the plate. It tends to stay, you know, in the zone and look like a hittable pitch a little bit longer. So I'm just kind of learning the ways of this thing, but I feel really good with it. I'm getting consistent action on it. Finally, I'm starting to be able to trust it to, you know, the locations I'm going to. So, you know, I feel like I'm pitching a bit safe with it at times. You know, I'm not as aggressive attacking in the zone with it, which I can be better at. I feel like I'm good with that, with the curveball going in zone and out of zone, but that's going to continue to sharpen up. I'm working on it, you know, daily out here, so I'm going to start to see some results soon.
Joe, I know that pitching is a bit of a fraternity in the sense that, you know, you probably know a lot of these guys, not just your ball club, but others. And when you see the injuries to Spencer Strider, and then you see Valdez go on the 15 and Josiah Gray on the 15, and, I mean, there's so many names, Garrett Cole coming back. Are you at all concerned as a starting pitcher about all of these injuries? I mean, I don't know how to fix all of this, but does it enter your mind at all? I mean, right now the Padres are pretty healthy, which is a good thing, but the rest of the division, not so much.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the way guys are throwing the ball now, I mean, it's max effort, max intent. You know, the pitches are breaking more than they ever have. They're faster than they ever have been. You know, there's a lot of things that are contributing to the injuries. I don't know what it is. You know, the pitch clock, the sticky stuff, and all the different ideas are probably a piece of it and a factor of it. I think mechanics are a big factor of it as well. But, yeah, I don't know. There's not an answer to it, but you know what you're signing up for. It's a big risk you take. You get paid a lot of money to do, you know, to do this for a living, and there's a responsibility that comes with it of taking care of your body, and, you know, there's plenty of guys that get hurt that do all those things right. So, there's, I mean, no one knows what's going on, man. You hope it's not you, to be honest.
Joe, I have to ask you, I mean, what is your opinion on that? You know, max effort versus maybe throttling back a little bit. What is your take on it?
I mean, I think it's all about efficiency. If your body moves properly and, you know, you put yourself in good positions, it's hard to not go out there and try to throw as hard as you can. You know, you're competing against the best hitters in the world, so I'm going to give you everything I have. I'm not going to hold anything back. It's very hard to you know, manage that. As a starter, obviously, you have to do it. You know, you're obviously not going max effort every single pitch of the game, but you find spots in there to kind of dial it up a little bit, but you try to ultimately just raise your cruising speed, you know? And like the level at which you can maintain for 100 plus pitches. So relievers are a little different. They can come out and kind of blow it out for an inning, and hopefully you're in that, you know, 10 to 13 pitch range. But yeah, you see it relievers even as innings go on and they get longer. Some guys tend to lose their stuff and fade. It's all conditioning and preparation, and I think the mental aspect of going into it. You know, as a minor leaguer, you're hardly allowed over 7 innings and 100 pitches ever. So you get to the big leagues and you're just kind of trained and ingrained that this is where I start hitting the, you know, the red line. So,
Joe, last thing.
A lot of it could be mental, but yeah, that's it. Go ahead.
I think we've had confusion on our when to jump in the past, because I think Scraby made a promo out of it one time, and it was pretty funny. Last thing for me, you're not pitching today or this weekend, but can you just give us, as fans, just a little idea what the scouting report is on the Dodgers? I mean, the big bad Dodgers. I mean, what just the general, without being too specific and giving anything away?
Yeah, I mean, they control the zone really well. You know, they don't get into, you know, bad counts often. And I think they thrive on the fear of the power in their lineup of getting ahead in counts and, you know, letting pitchers work from behind and getting better and better pitches to hit throughout the night. So, the key with us has always been to attack them, get ahead, control the counts. You know, statistically, they're a significantly, you know, better team when they get in control of counts and they're working from advantage counts. So, for us, it's get ahead, stay ahead, and put them away when you have them at two strikes. You know, we're trying to limit the two strike hits and the free bases.
You guys just got some jewels there from Joe. You can now have a little bit of idea of what's going on when the Padre pitchers are facing this Dodger lineup. Joe, as always, man, you're a wealth of knowledge. We appreciate you coming on and spending some time with us, man.
Always enjoy it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe Musgrove there on Friar Friday. Giving you Joe Musgrove joins us right now here on Gwen and Chris. Joe, how are you today, my friend?
Gentlemen, what's going on? Before we get started, I just want to bring something to your attention. I don't know if Scraby mentioned anything to you guys, but his name is not being held in very high regard in the Padre clubhouse right now. He gave a lot of dudes in here the cold shoulder yesterday. And some guys just aren't happy about it. So
cold shoulder yesterday, or the other day.
Joe. It's funny you mentioned that, because he said yesterday that he was in the area and he made reference to the fact that he didn't actually say hi. And I asked him. I was like, "Hey, man, you were on the field and you actually didn't say hi to Joe while you were down." So apparently, it wasn't just you. It was a lot more than just you.
It seems like it, man, you know. Dad.
Oh, that's terrible.
You have no
Scraby.
Idea how much I'm crawling out of my skin right now. But
Scrave, I'm messing with you, dude. You know what's funny, dude, is my mom actually called me yesterday. She loves the show. She listens to you guys daily. So she called me and she goes, "I know you're going on the show tomorrow. You got to give Scraby some, you know, some trash talk and wear him out a little
I
bit."
I love it.
They were joking about it, but we love you, Scraby.
All right, thanks. Thank you very much.
That would be hilarious if Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis were over in the corner going, "Can you believe that guy won't even come over and say hi to us?"
I'm just trying to stay out of the way, okay? I'm just trying to stay out of the way. But thank you for that. That was great. That was
very
great.
Good. Yeah. Very good.
So what's going on, guys?
I don't know.
You know, Tony, you're on the show. I guess we should be asking you questions as opposed to the other way around. So, you guys come here to Dodger Stadium. This place has not been very good to this ball club, this organization, in quite some time. I mean, obviously it's early in the season, Joe, but you know, I would imagine that you guys are tired of coming in here and getting your butts whooped.
Yeah, you know, I mean, a lot of that is, you know, brought to the surface by the fans and, you know, the excitement of the series and whatnot. But, you know, I just feel like we feel like a different team this year mentally. You know, we feel like we're very confident and secure in the work that we've been putting in and where we're at as a group. So coming in here, it has a little bit different of a feeling. You know, we just feel really good about where we're at and taking care of our business.
Joe, can you be a little more specific on some of the things that you're seeing from this ball club 15 games in that makes you believe, maybe you personally and the team believe that this season's going to be a whole lot more different than things turned out last year?
Yeah, I think just the overall engagement from the group as a whole, starting with Schulte, you know, he's laid out a really good foundation for how things are going to go this season. He's put the right people in place. The staff has been incredible. They're here hours before any of us prepping and getting things ready. Always, and guys are taking more ownership of the routines. There's a little bit more freedom in there to kind of create your own routine and do what you want. We have, you know, daily sessions of these guys breaking down the game and, you know, talking about where we can be better, definitely celebrating the good things. But, you know, a lot of that comes from Schulte and his program from the top down. So it's been really good. On the pitching side, Ruben and Fritz and Petey that put together our reports and do the day-to-day stuff with us. You know, they're dialed in. Everything's been running smooth. So I think now we're starting to settle into the regular routine after the trip to Korea and getting into the flow of the season. Things are going to continue to get sharper as we go.
I actually ran into Joe this morning, and it should be to nobody's surprise. He was already studying his next opponent. And, Joe, you know, for you, you kind of gotten off to a little bit of a slow start there the first couple. I mean, just talk about the difficulties. And I know you're not here to make excuses, but, again, having to try to set yourself up, you're going to Korea, you're coming back home, the season's kind of pausing, then you're kind of ramping back up again for your next start. Was it difficult, even though you kind of knew what was ahead of you and you were actually healthy this year, was it still difficult kind of getting yourself where you wanted to be, though?
Yeah, I mean, I think physically just getting there, mentally I felt really good about it. You know, we were aware of this trip for a long time, so I had time to prepare, and you try to create your routine to be, you know, ready a little bit sooner in the year. But, you know, sometimes you just don't get the response from your body that you're hoping for, and, you know, you haven't had the reps, you know, to get the feel right and get everything dialed in. You know, that's at least personally for me. So I feel good about it. I, you know, mentally learned a lot from it. I learned a lot how much, you know, I learned a lot about, you know, how impactful your self-talk is. There's a lot of hesitation going to that series for me, especially with the big layoff and, you know, just a lot of questions. So, yeah, I feel like I learned a lot from it. And I feel like as we go here and get more consistent routine, I'm gonna start to sharpen up.
Joe Musgrove is with us. It's Friar Friday. We are always ecstatic to have Joe on. And, Joe, this weekend you're not scheduled to start. So what is this weekend like for you? Tony said you're already preparing for Monday in Milwaukee. Can you over-prepare for anybody? And is it nice sometimes to just have a weekend where you know you're not going to play? Or is that trouble for you?
I mean, honestly, the most stressful days are the days between starts. You know, game day is your easiest day. I don't show up to the field until, you know, 3:30 on a game day, and it's pretty much just get ready to go pitch, and you get to go have fun. So it's these are the more stressful days for me throughout the, you know, the week between starts. But I love it, man. That's what I enjoy about it. Like Tony said, looking at film, you know, that pretty much starts. And for Darvish, it's even another level. You know, we'll finish a game on the road and we're on the bus to the airport and he's already got the next team's footage up and every flight he's on film. That guy just, he obsesses over it. But it does. I mean, for both of us, I feel it creates a lot of confidence in your game and gives you the ability to go out and trust your pitches when you know where the holes are. So a lot of that stuff and then a lot of physical work, throwing our bullpens, getting our lifts in, doing all the stuff to physically be ready conditioning-wise. So, yeah, a lot more work going on between starts than the actual game day. That's kind of the light day and the fun day for us.
San Diego's own Joe Musgrove joins us here on Gwen and Chris. And Joe, one of the things I've heard you speak about was trying to differentiate your curveball and the slider. It kind of has blended a little bit, according to you. Talk a little bit about that process, because obviously you go to the offseason, you have the time to kind of dissect it a little bit, but does that work continue on through the regular season as you get more and more starts under your belt?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm really happy with where the slider's at right now. I'm not, you know, quite satisfied with my ability to locate it consistently like I could my, you know, the old shape of my previous slider. and I used it a lot differently, you know, the type of swings I can get and the counts that I can throw in it, because it's, you know, more of a depthy slider and doesn't have as much carry off the plate. It tends to stay, you know, in the zone and look like a hittable pitch a little bit longer. So I'm just kind of learning the ways of this thing, but I feel really good with it. I'm getting consistent action on it. Finally, I'm starting to be able to trust it to, you know, the locations I'm going to. So, you know, I feel like I'm pitching a bit safe with it at times. You know, I'm not as aggressive attacking in the zone with it, which I can be better at. I feel like I'm good with that, with the curveball going in zone and out of zone, but that's going to continue to sharpen up. I'm working on it, you know, daily out here, so I'm going to start to see some results soon.
Joe, I know that pitching is a bit of a fraternity in the sense that, you know, you probably know a lot of these guys, not just your ball club, but others. And when you see the injuries to Spencer Strider, and then you see Valdez go on the 15 and Josiah Gray on the 15, and, I mean, there's so many names, Garrett Cole coming back. Are you at all concerned as a starting pitcher about all of these injuries? I mean, I don't know how to fix all of this, but... Does it enter your mind at all? I mean, right now the Padres are pretty healthy, which is a good thing, but the rest of the division, not so much.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the way guys are throwing the ball now, I mean, it's max effort, max intent. You know, the pitches are breaking more than they ever have. They're faster than they ever have been. You know, there's a lot of things that are contributing to the injuries. I don't know what it is. You know, the pitch clock, the sticky stuff, and all the different ideas are probably a piece of it and a factor of it. I think mechanics are a big factor of it as well. But yeah, I don't know. There's not an answer to it, but you know what you're signing up for. It's a big risk you take. You get paid a lot of money to do, you know, to do this for a living. And there's a responsibility that comes with it of taking care of your body. And, you know, there's plenty of guys that get hurt that do all those things right. So there's, I mean, no one knows what's going on, man. You hope it's not you, to be honest.
Joe, I have to ask you, I mean, what is your opinion on that? You know, max effort versus maybe throttling back a little bit. What is your take on it?
I mean, I think it's all about efficiency. If your body moves properly and, you know, you put yourself in good positions, it's hard to not go out there and try to throw as hard as you can. You know, you're competing against the best hitters in the world, so I'm going to give you everything I have. I'm not going to hold anything back. It's very hard to, you know, manage that. As a starter, obviously, you have to do it. You know, you're obviously not going max effort every single pitch of the game, but you find spots in there to kind of dial it up a little bit, but you try to ultimately just raise your cruising speed, you know, and like the level at which you can maintain for 100-plus pitches. So relievers are a little different. They can come out and kind of blow it out for an inning, and hopefully you're in that, you know, 10 to 13-pitch range. But, yeah, you see it relievers even as innings go on and they get longer. Some guys tend to lose their stuff and fade. It's all conditioning and preparation, and I think the mental aspect of going into it, you know. As a minor leaguer, you're hardly allowed over 7 innings and 100 pitches ever. So you get to the big leagues and you're just kind of trained and ingrained that this is where I start hitting the, you know, the red line. So,
Joe, last thing.
A lot of it could be mental, but yeah, that's it. Go ahead.
I think we've had confusion on our when to jump in the past, because I think Scraby made a promo out of it one time and it was pretty funny. Last thing for me, you're not pitching today or this weekend, but can you just give us, just as fans, just a little idea what the scouting report is on the Dodgers? I mean, the big bad Dodgers. I mean, what just the general, without being too specific and giving anything away?
Yeah, I mean, they control the zone really well. You know, they don't get into, you know, bad counts often, and I think they thrive on the fear of the power in their lineup, of getting ahead in counts and, you know, letting pitchers work from behind and getting better and better pitches to hit throughout the night. So the key with us has always been to attack them, get ahead, control the counts. You know, statistically, they're a significantly, you know, better team when they get in control of counts and they're working from advantage counts. So for us, it's get ahead, stay ahead, and put them away when you have them at two strikes. You know, we're trying to limit the two strike hits and the free bases.
You guys just got some jewels there from Joe. You can now have a little bit of idea of what's going on when the Padre pitchers are facing this Dodger lineup. Joe, as always, man, you're a wealth of knowledge. We appreciate you coming on and spending some time with us, man.
Always enjoy it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe Musgrove there on Friar Friday giving you the goods.
I got a new leader in the clubhouse for worst City Connect uniforms ever.
Who's that, Chris?
Welcome back to the program after that Joe Musgrove interview. Hope you enjoyed that. By the way, Scraby, your heart's okay finally. You got it restarted after Joe scared you with that notion that the clubhouse was upset with you.
Well,
that was really good on his part.
We told the story of me, and he walked in, and I looked at him, and I didn't say anything because I froze. Okay, I froze. Chris, you've been in these clubhouses. They're not like scary, but you do get nervous when you walk in.
You can, for sure, and you don't want to bother. I at least don't ever want to bother anybody.
Yeah,
so I understand what you're thinking. It doesn't seem like the kind of place where you walk past Manny Machado and you don't know him and you say, "Hey, Manny, Chris Ello, good to talk to you."
He's like, who?
He's not going to care, probably, or you wouldn't think he would anyway.
Yeah, no.
So I could see why you would be the way you were, and then Joe, got you pretty good today. So
he
that
did.
Was good.
And thank you to his mom for setting that whole thing up.
Yes, his mom.
It's incredible. She listens to the show every day.
That. And Tony Gwynn Jr. was in on it as well.
Oh, yeah. Because
he was laughing at you on the Zoom.
If you want to see the video, go to my Twitter, at Matt Scraby, because you can see Tony realizing that the bit that he had planned and was in on is happening, and he's very excited about it.
He was, he liked, well, we both liked it. Very good. The ugliest City Connect uniforms the Phillies have taken over. I first of all, just imagine in your head the Phillies uniform. What color comes to mind? Scrape?
Red and white.
Red, gray,
white,
little,
blue.
Tiny little blue streak. Philly uniform tonight, new City Connect. Black softball pants with yellow trim and a light blue top.
It's very strange.
That's half light blue, half black. And the word Philly, it just says Philly.
Yeah, it does. It's very aggressive.
It's written, yeah, it's really aggressive. Like, I don't even get it. Really ugly. Sorry, Philly fans, but you guys outdid my previous, the previous worst is the Texas Rangers, I thought, in terms of City Connects.
They're not good either.
And the Colorado Rockies are my third least favorite. Like, the Rockies are green with mountains on them.
People really like those ones, though.
Well, I don't.
Okay.
I don't like anything that looks like a softball uniform. And almost everything looks like a softball uniform when you wear dark pants.
No, it's true. And they're
pants. It looks pathetic.
Their pants, they're like Chris said, they're two-tone colors. And so on the top, it's like blue, and it goes fades into
the
black.
The Phillies?
Yeah, and then it fades into yellow at the bottom. It's just weird.
They look really, really bad. We did luck out in San Diego because I know that ours were a little controversial at the beginning, but doesn't it seem like everybody kind of just in general likes ours now?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
You know, I mean, there's probably a few haters left, but
yeah,
for the most part, the Padre City Connects, big hit. And I think that they're well received throughout baseball. But Phillies, I don't even, like, they're brand new, but I don't think it's going to be like something to get, where time's going to help me get used to it. I think I'm going to pretty much automatically think these Philly uniforms are really ugly.
I have another way to describe them. If I were to go into MLB The Show and design uniforms for my team, which you can do that, huh? Or in the past you have been able to, that's what it would look like.
That's what you'd come up with?
Just something completely ugly.
Something disjointed.
Yes.
It's really weird. The helmet now has a blue and black Liberty Bell on it. It just, I don't know. It just doesn't, anyway. All right.
Pirates, though.
Pirates are looking good. They're leading the Phillies tonight. Give me the story, because it made me mad earlier that you brought up that Christian Yelich left the game.
Oh.
Almost as if you're pleased
No. That
another one of my fantasy players is out. I've already lost Strider for the season.
I'm trying to keep our fantasy seasons.
Yeah, we got to keep it away from the listeners, because I don't think they really care.
No, they do, actually. I've heard a lot, because it helps them with their league, with the guys we talk about. But Christian Yelich exited the game today with lower back discomfort.
Yeah, he'll be out for about a year. So
he's been
luck continue. He's been great so far.
He's had an OPS over, I think, 1,100.
When I first got him on the draft, I was like, yeah, I'm going to get rid of this. Christian Yelich is no good anymore, but let him play for a couple of weeks. He's been great, but now he's hurt.
Yeah.
I'm so unlucky sometimes on fantasy baseball.
I really, truly, I think you have a good team. I've been watching your team. You're putting up stats, and so I am...
it's early.
I can't talk trash about your team.
There's nothing to talk trash about in a week and a half. You don't know who's really good and who's not so good yet. You think you know... I bet you don't know.
I know that Juan Soto walks too much.
Oh, man. You got to go back and hear that bit in the Big Five today. These guys in New York just destroying Juan Soto for having the audacity to walk with the tying runs on base in the bottom of the ninth inning the other night. I mean, these New York sports talk show hosts are going, I was going to say.
Bonkers?
Bonkers is good, yeah.
Okay.
Hey, hit the ball, bro.
Swing the bat, bro.
Juan Soto, we miss you.
We do.
I don't. A lot of people miss him. Not everybody. Some people do.
Great way to go into the weekend.
But he's got New York to keep him in shape now.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Padres, Dodgers. Let's get some of these games, huh? Sam Levitt's got the pregame show in just a couple of seconds. Thanks to Joe Musgrove for joining us today. For Tony Gwynn Jr. and Mr. Scraby, Padres, Dodgers, we'll be back Monday to wrap it all up for you. 2 o'clock, look for you then. Right here, San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.